ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
चैप्टर 7 एंटाइटल्ड इंद्र ऑफेंड्स बृहस्पति. टेक्स्ट 23.
मघवन्द्विषतः पश्य प्रक्षिणान् गुरुवतिक्रमान् सम्प्रति उपचितान् भूयः काव्यम् आराध्य भक्तितः आददिरन् निलयनम् ममापि भृगुदेवताः.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Indra, your enemies, the demons, were extremely weak because of their disrespect toward Shukracharya. But since they have now worshipped Shukracharya with great devotion, they have again become powerful. By their devotion to Shukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that now they are even able to easily seize my abode from me. Purport. Lord Brahma wanted to point out to the demigods that by the strength of the Guru, one can become most powerful within this world. And by the displeasure of the Guru, one can lose everything. This is confirmed by the song of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadanna Gati Kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Although the demons are insignificant in comparison to Lord Brahma, because of the strength of their guru, they were so powerful that they could not even seize Brahmaloka from Lord Brahma. We therefore pray to the spiritual master. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam. By the mercy of the Guru, even a dumb man can become the greatest orator, and even a lame man can cross mountains, as advised by Lord Brahma. One should remember this Shastric injunction if one desires success in life. In the world of physics, there is a theory called deterministic chaos theory, abbreviated as DCT. In our defense training, we were very elaborately taught this particular theory, the deterministic chaos theory, which essentially means that if somewhere in the universe, if there is a small minuscule change in the universal disorder that results in certain chain reactions which might affect some other part of the universe in a very, very large way. And the example is given of a butterfly. It's called the butterfly effect, in which a butterfly is flapping its wings in Brazil, say, and the movements of the air created by the flapping of the wings of this butterfly can create a tornado in Texas. Because of the slight change in the universal order, and there might be such a big catastrophe like a tornado somewhere in Texas. Or if somebody is pumping air in a cycle tire tube, And if the tire tube bursts, then the bursting of the tire tube might result in a hurricane in Florida. So this is called the deterministic chaos theory. In fact, this was a book entitled The Butterfly Effect, an article written by one meteorologist from US named Mr. Edward Lawrence, who presented it to the American Association for Advanced Sciences. Now, I remember when we were given the rifle training in defense, the Air Force. So this particular principle was taught to us, in which when you have to shoot at an object, so you have to first aim it. So there is a target, and there are concentric circles, and there is a bullseye. And on the rifle, on the barrel, there is a V at one end of the barrel, something shaped V. And on the other end of the barrel, there is a pointer which you have to align with the bullseye. And then you have to shoot, aim like that. But then we were told that a little change in the alignment or a little deviation in holding the rifle, the trajectory of the bullet might be so different that the bullet might hit some object so far away from that target. So I remember outside of this firing range, there were some quotes and slogans written. Small changes can lead to vast different destinations. Now, also, you know, in flight navigation, it is said that if a flight is taking off from New York and heading towards Israel, Tel Aviv in Israel, then if the navigator just navigates the flight with a change of just 1 degree, with just 1 degree of change towards the north longitude, then the flight which has taken off from New York heading towards Israel might land up in Moscow. Just 1 degree of change, called deterministic chaos, that a little change over here can result in a big catastrophe somewhere down the line. Now the Buddhist doctrines also, they take this deterministic chaos theory and they relate it with the karma theory which we have, in which they call it dependent origination. And they have a certain metaphor which they use. It's called the Indra's net. Over here we are discussing about Lord Indra. So they call it the Indra's net, in which they experimented a big auditorium which is pitch dark, no lights inside. And the auditorium has mirrors all over on the walls. And there are some prisms which are hanging from the ceiling. Now, just one tiny flash of light is enough if it is passed correctly through one of the prisms, which then bounces on another prism, and like that gets reflected on the mirror, and the whole auditorium can be lit up with blinding light just with a tiny flash of light. And the reason is that how all of these different chain reactions, the bouncing of the light on these various objects and then getting reflected through the mirror, lights up the entire auditorium. So they relate this dependent origination theory to the karma theory, that all of us within this material world, we are performing our tiny karma. And all of these karma put together makes the structure of this universe. Like this city originally was something different. But when so many people came together and they planned out this city, and because of their activities, because of their karma, you see a certain structure of the city now. So just like the beam of light passing through all these prisms and mirrors light up the entire auditorium, similarly, small little activities performed by living entities, they result in mass phenomena or sometimes disasters, catastrophes. So you must be wondering, is it some physics class going on? Over here we can see in this particular episode of Indra offending his spiritual master Brihaspati, this particular theory, the deterministic chaos theory working. A small neglect by Indra. Indra didn't speak anything. He just neglected the presence of his spiritual master. And a small neglect of that resulted in the entire demigod community lost to the demons. As over here, Lord Brahma is speaking and he's saying that these same demons who were so weak, practically they every time lost to all of you, but because of the neglect of one person, Indra, and because of their worship towards their spiritual master, Shukracharya, see what has happened. So one slight change which resulted in chain reaction, and the entire demigod community had to suffer because of that. So I was thinking of trying to relate with this particular theory, the deterministic chaos theory, and seeing it on different levels. First of all, let us try to see that how this principle, it works on the cosmic level. And we have the example of Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto. That Dhruva Maharaj, he went out to perform austerities. And we know the sequence of his austerities, that in 6 months, the kind of intensity which he had in his austerity, at the end of the period of his austerity, when he even stopped breathing. So this was 1 5-year-old Dhruva who stopped his breathing, which resulted, according to this chaos theory, the choking up of the entire universe. And all the demigods, they became breathless. Now, this would appear to be something far out, but Bhagavatam is also speaking of deterministic chaos theory. In the episode of Dhruva Maharaj, he stopped his breathing, which resulted in a chaotic situation, and the entire demigod community again. In fact, the entire universe became breathless and they had to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for that. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he told them that, yes, I can pinpoint and detect from where it has started. Like, you know, if a tornado in Texas is taking place and somebody is able to pinpoint that somewhere in Brazil, one butterfly was flapping its wings and the movement of the air resulted in a tornado in Texas. So the Supreme Lord is similarly revealing to all the demigods that it is this Dhruva on the earth planet who is performing his austerities and who has stopped breathing, because of which the entire universe has been choked. So herein we see the first level of this deterministic chaos theory on a cosmic level. Then we see in our scriptures this particular theory on an individual level. beginning with one's body. Now, of course, we know that this body which we have is a result of so many different karma or the karmic reactions because of which we get a certain kind of body in a certain family, in a certain situation, a certain color, caste, everything. Now in the Upadeshamrit, Rupa Goswami explains that within this body, how the tongue is so very important, although nobody can even see this tongue unless it's taken out. But it is so important that when this tongue is not controlled, now it is on a physical level, when this tongue is not controlled, it results in some chaos in the belly. So the first verse of Upadeshamrit, Vacho Vegam Manasah Krodha Vegam Jivha Vegam. So there is the veg of the jivha. And the veg of the jivha is sometimes so strong that there is chaos in the belly because of which. And because there is chaos in the belly, then there is pressure on the genitals because they are in one line. And when there is pressure on the genitals, then the sexual urge overwhelms the living entity, which might result in illicit sex, which might result in some sexually transmitted diseases, maybe AIDS, or maybe a free ticket to hell. Now, somebody who is in hell or somebody suffering from a deadly disease like AIDS may not be able to relate that it all began with this tongue. The deterministic chaos theory. Again over here, on a physical level, the bodily level, beginning with the tongue, resulting in chaos in the belly, then the genitals, and then a person indulging in some karmic reactions. So over here we see the second level on which this particular theory can be perceived in our scriptures, on a physical level. Then also we can see this particular theory working on the mental level. And now we have Krishna very analytically explaining about the same theory, but of course in a very, very spiritual way, in the Bhagavad Gita, in which he explains how this particular theory works on a mental level. In the second chapter, when Krishna speaks about the sequence in which a living entity falls down, it begins with Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangasteshu Upajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kamat Kamat Krodhod Bhijayate Krodhod Bhavati Sammohat Sammohat Smriti Vibhrama Smriti Bhramsat Buddhinasho Buddhinashat Pranashyati. Again we see a small change. Krishna begins with, when the mind contemplates on the sense objects. Dhyayato Vishayan. When the mind contemplates on some sense objects, what is the next chain reaction? That little contemplation, it results in Sangasteshu Upajayate. It results in attachment. Attachment towards that particular sense object. Attachment towards enjoying that sense object. And that attachment further leads to kama. It leads to lust. And lust, when unfulfilled, leads to krodha. Krodhod bhavati sammoha. Then krodha leads to sammoha. It leads to delusion. Sammohat smriti vibhrama. Now, this smriti or memory within us is something which is a very big asset which living entity has. Because using this memory, using this intelligence, we can discriminate. Yes, I had suffered previously by thinking about this, by doing this particular act. So the memory helps to check on ourselves that I should not be indulging, I should not be thinking, I should not be doing such a thing. So the memory helps checks on us. But when that is destroyed, Smriti Vibhrama, then the intelligence is paralyzed. Then the intelligence cannot discriminate between right and wrong. So, memory loss leads to intelligence lost. Buddhi nashat. And when the intelligence is lost, buddhi nashat pranashyati. Again, the living entity falls within the cycle of birth and death. So over here again we see Lord Krishna explaining this deterministic chaos theory on a mental level, beginning with contemplation on the sense objects, leading to attachment, leading to lust, leading to anger, leading to delusion, memory loss, intelligence lost, and then the living entity just falls down within this material whirlpool again. So this is as far as this theory on a mental level. Then we have also examples of how this theory was seen working on an intellectual level. Just before this particular episode of Indra offending Brihaspati, we had the episode of Daksha cursing Narad Muni. Now, Narad Muni, when he saw the 10,000 sons of Daksha Prajapati, the Haryashvas, what did Narad Muni do to them? Narad Muni just spoke some 8 or 10 riddles Narad Muni spoke. Very intelligent riddles. Sometimes if we don't know the philosophy very well, we might be a little puzzled how to solve these riddles which Narad Muni was presenting to these Haryashvas. That there is a river which flows in both directions. There is a hole upon reaching, one doesn't come out. So these kind of puzzling riddles were put forth, which was triggering the intelligence of Haryashvas. Now, we understood that how Narad Muni, when he was preaching to Mrigrari was not on that level of that his intelligence could be triggered and he could understand what he was doing, the repercussions of that on an intellectual level. So for Mrigrari, Narad Muni used special effects. You know, he showed that this is how you are going to suffer in hell. And when something so graphic was shown to Mrigrari, Mrigrari was shaken and then realized that what is he all into. But for Haryashvas, it is explained that Narad Muni didn't even give any explanation about those riddles also. Like sometimes in these books, there is some puzzles or crosswords to be given to be solved, there is always in some other page the answer given. You know, upside down answer, you know, to all those puzzles. But over here, Narad Muni didn't give any answers. So Shukadeva Goswami explains that how did the Haryashvas then understand all these riddles, so much so that they left the materialistic life and they took up to renounced order of life. Shukadeva Goswami explains, Vacha devarsher vimarshur dhya. Use their dhya, intelligence. The Haryashvas understood the enigmatic words of Narad Muni just by using their intelligence. And then we see the Haryashvas being triggered on an intellectual level. They took up to renounced order of life, which resulted in their brothers, the 1,000 Shavalasvas, taking to renounced order of life, which resulted in Daksha becoming angry, which resulted in him cursing Narad Muni, which resulted that Narad Muni could not stay at one place, which resulted that Narad Muni became a worldwide preacher. Universal preacher, a traveling spaceman. And it all began with the riddles which the Haryashvas understood with their dhya, with their intelligence, and it resulted in all these things. So over here we see how this chaos theory is working on an intellectual level. And then we have the chaos theory being seen on the level of false ego, which is subtler than intelligence. Over here is the example of one, Indra offending Brihaspati, which was the false ego which was triggered, and a slight neglect which resulted in so much that the entire demigod community lost to the demons, which again we will read in the 8th canto, which resulted of course in the appearance of Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj losing everything, offering everything to Vamanadev, and then going to Sutala planet, and all these things resulting, if you see, stemming from Indra's neglect, and which was a result because of the false pride. And then we have in Daksha Yagya, 4th canto, we read Daksha Prajapati, another example of how false pride was triggered, which resulted in offending Lord Shiva, which resulted that Daksha got a goat's head. Now, never ever in his family or everyone who knew Daksha could ever imagine that one point of time Daksha will have a goat's head. But it all began when he also offended Lord Shiva because of false pride. And another example of this chaos theory working on the level of false pride or false ego is Sringi cursing Parikshit Maharaj. So Sringi cursed Parikshit Maharaj, and the result was that the entire Brahminical class got degraded. One person's silly mistake, and the entire Brahminical class was degraded for all time to come. So we have over here this one example of how it led to such kind of chaotic situations, catastrophic situations, because of one slight mistake. And then we have this particular theory seen on the spiritual level, on the level of the soul. Now, Srila Prabhupada, one time he was on a morning walk in LA, and he was quoting this verse from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Neha bhikrama nashosti pratyavayo na vidyate swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Quoting this verse, that how the greatest bhaya, the greatest catastrophe for a living entity is to fall down into the animal species. And Srila Prabhupada, now he writes in the purport also of that particular verse, that what is that mahato bhayat, that great fear, is that when the human soul glides down into the animal kingdom, the animal species, that's the greatest fear. Now Srila Prabhupada, this particular morning walk, he made some frightening revelation, added something more to it. And he said, it's not that when the soul from the human body goes down or glides down into the animal species, it just takes on one particular type of animal species and evolves to the next higher form. Now, many times we have this understanding that the 84 lakh species and how the soul evolves, there is no karma over there. The soul just evolves through all the other species except the human form, and then comes to the human form, and from here can come out of this tabernacle or can again glide down. Now, Srila Prabhupada said that when the soul from the human form enters into the animal kingdom, say if the soul has taken up dog's body, so it's not that it just takes up one dog body, one type of dog's body. It has to undergo every type of dog species and then move on to the next higher species, and then become every type of that next higher species, and then move on to the next higher species. So imagine a soul which loses the opportunity within this human form of life, glides down into these animal species. What a fearful situation is that. Imagine if somebody goes into some tree species. There are so many tree species.
And some of these tree species, like, you know, some of these trees, they live for 5,000, 7,000 years. So which means just one sentence for the soul in one of these tree species will be for 5,000 years. And that's just one sentence. And then move on to the next tree species. The next. And then maybe the soul might come to the human form of life. So Prabhupada said, that is mahato bhayat. That is the greatest catastrophe for the living entity. So now, in this verse, Neha Bhikrama Nashosti, we see Swalpam Apyasya Dharmasya. A little religious activity or devotional service, Krishna consciousness, which one performs, Swalpam, can save the soul from the greatest catastrophe, Mahato Bhayat. Conversely, if we see that if a little Krishna conscious act can save from Mahato Bhayat, then a little sense gratification, according to this chaos theory, can put us in Mahato Bhayat. So a little inappropriate usage of this human form of life can lead that the human soul can glide down and enter into such troubled waters within this material world. So over there, Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing that how we were all in the spiritual world and we became a little curious about this material world. And that little curiosity, as it is said, curiosity killed the cat. So that little curiosity, see what kind of chaotic situation we have made for ourselves within this material world, that it has become so difficult now to leave this material world and to go back, join with Krishna. Which means, if this material world, which is Asat, Achit and Nirananda, if this material world is so difficult for us to leave, can you imagine how difficult it was for us to leave the spiritual world, which is Sat Chit Ananda, which is so beautiful? When this miserable Dukhalayam, this material world, there is so much of attraction and attachment that we find it so difficult to leave this material world and go to the spiritual world. So Mahato Bhayat, on the platform of the soul, one slight mistake and then it ends up in the greatest fear for the soul. Srila Prabhupada was in Calcutta, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj recalls that there were many senior sannyasis with him there in Calcutta. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj at that time was a grihastha. So there was a meeting arranged. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was also part of the meeting. And the meeting was that which are the zones which the senior disciples of Prabhupada will take and become GBCs for those zones. So choices were given. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he selected India. Because he thought that Srila Prabhupada now will be spending more of his time in India because all these projects are coming up, Mayapur Vrindavan project. So Prabhupada, in a year, 8 months, he would be spending in India. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he made his choice that if you want to make me the GBC, make me for India. Because he could get so much association of Prabhupada. So he made that choice, but then he found that it was so difficult to manage the affairs in India. It was very easy to manage the affairs abroad in the West, especially in the US. But in India, it was so difficult. Prabhupada started the life membership program, and so much money was coming, and the accounts were to be maintained. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he recalls that he would sometimes approach these senior sannyasis that, please, if you can help me out to manage these accounts and all these affairs in India. And he said many of these sannyasis would say that, well, we are here for preaching, so we play harmonium and we preach. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj became so frustrated in trying to manage all these affairs within India that finally he just came in front of Prabhupada and he broke down. He started crying, started crying bitterly in front of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked, what happened? And he revealed the situation. And to the utter surprise of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada started laughing. Now he was all the more disturbed that here I am, the only recourse for me is Srila Prabhupada, and he's also laughing at me. So he became a little serious and then wanted to know that why Prabhupada is laughing. And Prabhupada said, you are in the most fortunate situation because you have no time for Maya. You are so busy, you are so much engaged in trying to serve Krishna that there is no time for Maya. So you are the most fortunate. And then Prabhupada, he cited an example to illustrate this. He said that just like you must have experienced traveling in these Indian trains. So when you are traveling in some of these jam-packed Indian trains, and somehow you have your seat, fortunate enough to get, you know, you could just, you know, put your butts on it, and somehow you have got it. And then, as the train moves, a skinny, lanky weakling comes in the compartment, and he stands next to you. And, you know, you are sitting with like five others on the seat, and you have just your own little space to somehow rest yourself on. And this skinny person comes, and he looks at you, smiles, expecting something from you. And then you also look at this person, and you pretend that I am not in a very compassionate mood. So this skinny person is looking at you with desperation, with anticipation, with some hope that you might give some place for him to sit. So he smiles, and because, you know, out of courtesy, you also look and smile for a while. And then he realizes that, you know, he has broken the ice. So he slowly slides in between you and the next guy to you, the guy next to you. Slides in. And then, you know, you have to give him little place to sit over there. And then you are towards, you know, you are inched towards the corner. And then this person, he shouts out for his son that, come, come, come. We have some place here. And then you realize he's not alone. Now the son comes running from somewhere in the bogey. And the son then sits on his lap. Then he calls for another son. You also come. And another son comes. And then in no time, then his wife comes, a big fat lady. And then you realize, I have to get up. So Prabhupada, he cited this example to say, that's how Maya enters. Again, trying to relate it with this chaos theory, that Maya, you give an inch to Maya, and that's how, like that skinny person, first sits himself, then calls the sons, and then the wife comes, and then you are thrown off. That's how Maya enters inside our system, inch by inch, and slowly a little change in the order of our existence, and then you find a big catastrophe that we might lose this human form of life. We might glide down into the animal species. We were told this one story in this particular explanation of this theory then, of two rats who were trapped in a barrel of yogurt. So both these rats were trapped in a barrel of yogurt, and the entire rat community came in order to see if they can help. But then they realized that it's too difficult situation, and maybe, you know, they are going to die. So all these rats surrounding the barrel of this yogurt are telling to both these rats that please don't work hard. Enjoy your death now by drinking all this yogurt. Anyways, you're going to die, so no point doing anything to come out. There is no way we can help you, no way you can help yourself. So better kha pi ke maro, you know, like die eating some nice yogurt. So it so happened that one of these rats kept on moving its, you know, hind legs and fore legs. Kept on moving. And that little movement which this one rat was doing, the other rat gave up. The other rat gave up all endeavors to come out of that barrel, and the other rat died. But the one rat which was making all these small movements of its legs, what happened in due course of time, the yogurt started churning. Because of the movement of the legs of this rat, the yogurt started getting churned. And you know what happens when the yogurt gets churned? Butter starts forming. So because of the movement of this rat, butter started forming. And that butter, because the nature of butter is, it always floats up. So the butter started floating up, and the rat jumped on the mound of butter. And the rat also floated on the surface, and then the rat jumped out. Now the entire rat community was amazed that how could this impossible feat be achieved by this rat? And the punch of the story is that the rat was blind, deaf. Because the other rat was able to hear, so was discouraged by the entire rat community that you are a rodent and you don't have that potency to come out of this particular yogurt. But because the other rat was deaf, so he couldn't hear, he thought that all of this rat community is coming and encouraging me. Do something, come out. So he was just, you know, seeing with his eyes, you know, all the expressions of the other rat community, and he thought that they are encouraging me, so I should really work hard. So translating that as encouragement, he started working hard, you know, created some butter which floated. He also floated on it, jumped out of the barrel and saved himself. So I was thinking about this story that, yes, we might be also sitting and doing this, you know, fingering our beads. And we might not see any change at that particular point of time. Just like the rat who was moving its legs trying to do something. There was no change seen then. But, you know, trying to align with this particular deterministic chaos theory, that little fingering of the beads and chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra. And yes, just like the rat was deaf to all the hearings of the rat community, similarly, if we become deaf to all the sayings of Maya, to all the implorations of Maya, to all the allurements of Maya, and just keep working hard, fingering our beads and trying to follow the principles, then yes, it can result that we can also come out of the barrel of this material world. And just like butter is something very auspicious, Krishna is also butter thief. So we may also churn our heart and make it as soft as butter for Krishna to steal, so that we can come out of this chaotic world and enter the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's a little over time, so we will end our class over here. Srila Prabhupada ki, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj ki. Jai.